Begin in Egypt. There's been international condemnation today of a bloody military crackdown yesterday on protesters, on Muslim Brotherhood protesters in Egypt, during which almost 300 people were reported to have been killed. Canadian journalist Rebecca Collard is in Cairo. She joins me now. Rebecca, first of all, can you take us through what actually happened yesterday?
Basically, what happened was yesterday morning, just before 7 a.m. local time here in Cairo, security forces began to move in on two very densely populated cities in Cairo. So the one where I was, in Rabaa al-Adawiya, there were thousands, if not tens of thousands, of protesters inside this camp for the last 6 weeks. Security forces began to move in, and of course that resulted in clashes and left, I think now we're saying, 275 people dead across the country.
Was any attempt made to remove the protesters peacefully, or did the army go in with guns and tanks blazing?
Well, the government has been warning for weeks that they were going to do this, quite stern warnings saying they would clear these camps. These camps would not be permanent fixtures. But I don't think that there was a lot of warning given to the people inside the camps. So I think we saw them first around the periphery. Obviously, their presence sent some people out of the camp. But I think the important thing to remember here is that these protesters have said that they will not leave. They refuse to leave. So whether or not they were given warning, they were not willing to leave these camps.
And the figure of just under 300 people, 275, 278, is that being accepted? Obviously, it's not accepted by the Muslim Brotherhoods. They say that the death toll is much higher.
Yeah, of course, it's not being accepted by the Muslim Brotherhood. They're putting the death toll in the thousands. But I think the most important thing to remember when we're talking about death tolls at this stage is that we're talking about a very chaotic day. And being able to actually count bodies takes a long time. So when we say 275, that's 275 that have shown up at state morgues. So that figure might be accurate for now, but we're definitely going to see, if not today, then in the coming days, that figure grow as more bodies reach the morgue.
Now, the authorities are saying that amongst the dead are 43 members of the police force. That's their way of saying that when they did go in, that they weren't just met with stones.
Exactly, and that's the accusation. Now, I can tell you personally, when I was in Rabaa al-Adawiya yesterday, that I didn't see any guns on the side of the protesters, but that doesn't really mean that they don't exist. And definitely the state narrative, both on state TV and from the government, has been that these are actually well-armed protesters. And yesterday, as they were clearing the camp, they were showing footage on state TV of arms caches, you know, massive arms caches from inside the protesters' camp. And the question is whether or not that footage is real, and many here believe that it wasn't. So definitely you have some arms, some guns on the side of the protesters, but it doesn't seem to be to the extent to which the government is claiming it was.
Among the dead are also two journalists who were covering the story.
Yeah, I mean, the one that has been making, of course, the foreign news has been the Sky News correspondent. Very, very sad case. And I think one of the first times, if not the first time, that a foreign journalist has died in these years of uprising in Egypt. But I don't get the impression at the moment that he was necessarily targeted as a journalist. When you go into a situation like this where there is just so much violence, these are the sort of things that unfortunately happen. And it's a very, very sad day for many in Egypt, but also, I think, for journalists here.
Were these security forces, in taking this action, were they in any sense preempting opponents of the Muslim Brotherhood who might have taken the law into their own hands and attempted to clear these camps themselves?
I don't think there's any force in Egypt other than the army and the police that would have been able to clear these camps. However, your question raises an interesting point, what kind of support they had for this operation. And, you know, I'm on the street right now and I'm just talking to some kind of average Egyptians about what they think. And a lot of people are very supportive of the operation. They wanted these camps cleared. They believe that they were hosting terrorists, that there was arms, that they were threatening Egypt's security, and at the same time, obviously, massively inconvenient to the local residents. So there was definitely support for these operations from many Egyptians.
Now, Mohamed El-Baradei has resigned, the vice president in this interim government. Obviously, somebody of international prominence, international note, international credibility and respectability. What impact does that have on the government of Adli Mansour?
I don't know if it's going to have that much impact right now. I think right now it's going to be kind of quite a fast-moving story, and of course we'll see how the government reacts, but I don't think that necessarily his resignation is going to have a huge impact on how the government behaves going forward. I think Alberta, particularly because of his previous position, is very well known internationally, and he is liked by a lot of Egyptians, but I don't think his resignation is going to have an effect on the way that the government behaves here in Egypt.
Does the army now have powers, once again, similar to the powers that it had during the Mubarak regime?
Yes, definitely. I mean, these kind of powers of arrest, of monitoring, the curfew, of course. And this is a thing that we'll see exactly how they use them in the coming days, but basically we are under a state of emergency here. So that means curfew, and that basically means the suspension of rights of many Egyptians. So these powers are, yes, of course, very similar to what we've seen previously.
And has there been any reaction within Egypt to the international condemnation of what happened yesterday?
Well, I mean, I don't think that right now they're looking to the international community that much. Most people are kind of rejecting foreign involvement. And, you know, when you're in these protests, they're saying it's America's fault, it's coming from Israel, this sort of thing. And on the other side, people are saying, oh, the Americans are funding the Brotherhood. So I think that there is a general rejection here in Egypt of foreign interference, as they see it, in what's going on in the country. So, I mean, obviously some Egyptians are going to welcome the international condemnation of these events, but right now I don't think that people have a lot of respect for the international community.
Is there uneasy peace in Cairo at the moment?
Definitely, I would say uneasy peace. From where I'm standing now, I see very few cars on the street and very few people. And it's really, really hard to tell what's going to happen today. I think we can definitely say that if not today, then in the coming days, the Brotherhood will reorganize to some degree. And they've already made clear from the beginning that if this camp was dispersed, that they would try to set up new camps and they would continue to protest. So right now we have just an uneasy calm in Cairo, and we'll just see in the day what happens if the Muslim Brotherhood takes back to the streets, and then how security forces react.
In terms of the population of Egypt itself, I mean, what percentage of the population actually support the Muslim Brotherhood at the moment? What percentage is actually behind them?
I think that number has gotten smaller and smaller. So they were, of course, quite a popular group. They are Egypt's oldest opposition group, 85 years since they were founded, and very popular in Egypt despite being banned pre-revolution. And even when, of course, Morsi was elected, they had quite a lot of support. But over his term, I think he lost the support of many people that voted for him. And I spoke to many people that voted for Mohamed Morsi, and now... now we're supporting him, his ouster by the military. So they've definitely lost support. And also, I think for a lot of people, you know, in the last couple of weeks, state TV and local media have shown again and again kind of weapons caches and pushed the line that these people are terrorists and they're threatening the security of the country. And when we don't have a lot of other voices in Egypt, I think that that's definitely very effective for a lot of Egyptians. And the support for the Muslim Brotherhood continues to decline.
Rebecca Collard, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.